Morning, everyone. Today we're going to continue on the topic of how we follow God's plan. We're still learning from Abraham's life. I saw a few more faces, and I saw some different faces, a lot more tanned, like darker. I hope that you have gone outdoor and having a good summer, enjoying your leave. Last week, my family went hiking with another family. We sort of needed to get across a stream on the way, and the kids get on their feet to climb on the slippery rocks. They start to use all four of their limbs so that they can balance. I was the only adult wearing a sandal, so I step into the water and try to give them a hand, help them to balance so that their shoes won't get wet. I know that they won't mind, but the parents do. Anyway, I give them my hands to hold on to. The children got through it easily. They have better balance than us. And they step from one stone to the other, and they get to the other side of the stream without getting their shoes wet. Most of them, I think. And then I offer my help to the adults too. However, they are quite reluctant to put weight on my hand. They try to balance, do that, all sort of things themselves, and you know the result. Some of them have their shoes into the water, and I think half of them have their shoes wet at the other end. Fully trusting someone is not easy, especially when I'm not a strong man that can hold a person up with one hand. I guess it would be better if I'm a handrail, just like handrail along the stream, so they can just hold on to the handrail. Because they can see it. They can see it. We want to see things. As a Christian, the one we trust is invisible. We claim that we trust the one that we cannot see. But a lot of the time we know that trusting requires seeing. We only trust those people we can see their abilities. We trust the professional. We can see the titles. We trust the numbers as we see the zeros, the percentages. But if we are being honest, many more times the one we trust is the one we see in the mirror, ourselves. It's not that we don't know from the Bible that we should trust our Lord, but just somehow we were not able to live by faith. From Hebrews, the book of Hebrews 11, chapter 11, you're probably very familiar with that. It said, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's faith. This is what the ancients were commanded for. And then it's a list of names. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen, what we can see here, was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Noah, the person that we mentioned last time, when warned about things that not yet seen, the flood hasn't come, there's no sign of that. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. He did that. And by faith, Abraham, when called to a place, to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went. Even though he don't know, have no idea where he was going. That's why we call Abraham the father of faith. Because he hadn't seen where he was going before he actually went. He didn't ask to see the photo. I mean, this day when I say this, a place is so good, and you will ask for the name, and then you will search it online, you see the photos, see whether it's good, the review, and then you check out on the GPS how to go there. You know everything. You don't need to go there anymore. It's not by faith that we go there. But Abraham did that. He go to somewhere he'd have no idea. He didn't even know whether the promised land is that good. So that's like sort of from last week. And we pick up from there. Today I haven't put the scripture on the slide. So you can open your phone, get to Genesis 12 and we'll read from there. So Genesis 12 verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they have acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. They traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So Abraham built an altar there to the Lord who had just appeared to him. He mentioned about the great tree of Moreh. I'm not sure how this looked like. It's certainly a great tree. I assume people know about that. People may take photo with that. Tourists will go and visit there. Abraham may have taken a selfie with the tree. Do you think he did that? Probably not, because the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared and talked to him. And afterwards, he built an altar there to the Lord. Abraham's eyes were on the Lord. And when the Lord finished, Abraham built an altar, and his eyes now, like, on the altar to prepare for that, his eyes were on worshipping God. And as he moved to another place, he built another altar. I mean, if you continue to read that, he kept worshipping God. We kept worshipping God. Every single Sunday, I can no longer say that. Because we have skipped one Sunday. Last Christmas Day, we had a Sunday service on a Saturday. The week after, my kids asked me, so are we going to church on Saturday? And I mean, sort of confused them a little bit. We successfully did that. We regularly come to worship. The altar that Abraham built is to worship God. To remind himself of God. Every single Sunday you come here, definitely you will hear about Jesus, you will hear about God. It reminds you. Following God in our life requires a lot of faith in God. Not only at the time that we started, not only at the time when Abraham started, not only the first steps we become a Christian, we learn the basics and now we're fine. No, every single step requires faith. Faith in Him and only in Him. Jesus Christ knew that it's not easy. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. God with us all the time. But sometimes we forget about that. The Holy Spirit is behind us. Sometimes we only remember Jesus when we are here on Sunday. We forget about Jesus on Monday as we get back to work. As we make decision of our life and we do all sort of things. Sometimes we forget about Jesus on holiday as well. Not too sure. When you don't even know which day of the week it is, it's easy to forget about Jesus. But I mean, it's okay. It's only a few weeks of holiday. You don't have holiday all the time. But don't lose sight of God in your life. Don't lose sight of God in your life. Don't think your life is going well and you don't mind losing sight of God. God was with Abraham and the road trip was going well until something happened. The famine came. That's the passage that we're going to look at today. But as Abraham is in his road trip, I'm not sure about your road trip. I mean, who has some kind of road trip this year? Yeah, any special problem happened, difficulties? The car broke down or something like that? Some of us. I heard a brother who have his the driver's window sort of chipped by a rock, but he didn't notice that as much, he didn't stick anything, and he kept driving, and then it's the whole thing broke down. I mean, it's broken, and so it's quite dangerous. I mean, if it's a windscreen, then probably we won't see him anymore. So We don't know. But how do you handle it? How did you handle it when you have difficulty? Do you pray to God? Or you try out your ways to solve things? I remember 2 years ago, my family, we have a road trip and we had a water restriction during the summer. Still remember that? We were on a motorhome, the caravan, so we need to fill up our water tank. And it was difficult to find the tap because the tap from the council is shut down. They said they want to prevent people to get water from there. But as a motorhome user, we have nowhere to get water. So we figure out our own way. We book a motel and then we get into the motel and then we get water from there. They actually need to buy water from somewhere, but as we were as their customer, they said, "Oh, we can take the water." I just sort it out with our own way. Last year, I mean, we always have accidents, right? Last year, I accidentally keep my car's aircon on during the time that I haven't actually started the engine. I got my kids inside the car so that they can enjoy the aircon. I'm working on something at the back, and the battery died, and on the middle of nowhere. I mean, so we wait hours for air to come, and that time I remember I pray a little bit. I mean, honestly, we don't always pray when we have difficulty, especially when you have the solution. You just do it, make the call. When you didn't call God, you call the AA, right? These 2 years when we have COVID, how often did you pray to God? Or you just check out the announcement? I mean, a lot of the time we lose sight of God and we forget Him. Let's see how Abraham dealt with the famine. The famine's facing him. It's like, you can just exchange a word, COVID is coming. What will Abraham do? Now there was a famine in the land and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is my wife.' Then they will kill me and will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you." Did he pray? Abraham was a huge figure. He has huge faith in God. He started his long journey as he celebrates 75. But no one is perfect. Famine struck and he has moved to Egypt. He was scared as he moved to Egypt. He was scared because he knew that the Egyptians have no fear of God. He might get killed because he has a beautiful wife. According to the scripture, the 65-year-old Sarah was very beautiful. The way to measure beautiful is quite different from nowadays. It's not like how smooth your skin is. They use it, especially by their eyes. So you can still get a very beautiful eyes when you're 65. Sarah have beautiful eyes, I think. Because of her beauty, Abraham feared that it will draw the attention of other men and those people will murder him and take him. And what he does? He asked Sarah to tell others that she is his sister. Did he lie? What do you think? It's usually the focus point is like, did he lie? He's our father of faith. Did he lie? And so we try to explain for him. No, he didn't. I mean, he's actually the relationship. He can actually call Sarah his sister. It's similar to King David's wife Bathsheba. Many would not focus on what King David did wrong because they would like to see a perfect king. They want to see the king who win all the battles. But you know the Bible didn't avoid that. The Bible said when David was, when in Matthew, when David was introduced in Jesus' bloodline, I mean, it's not just like David and the next one. It said, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Not his wife. Especially to remind us sometimes. The Bible never avoids the shortcoming of man. Especially when it comes to the big names. Because I think the Bible wants to remind us that no one is perfect. We would like to see a perfect father, Abraham. You may want to be a perfect Christian. I mean, you won't admit that you want to be a perfect Christian. But what we do when we fail to admit our shortcomings, actually saying that we want to be a perfect Christian. We just don't want to face that we actually have shortcomings. But honestly, we know that we're not. We're all in progress until the last day of our life. Even Abraham needs improvement. As he lived out God's will in moving out, tending around, he remained under the influence of sin. We are under the influence of sin in this world. Every human who's still living in this world is under the influence of sin. Yes, Abraham still fully trusts God as he walked out from the door of his family, his father's house. Every time he moved to a new place, he set up an altar to worship God. So I'm not having a doubt that he is not trusting God. He just loses sight of God. This time he loses sight of God. He only saw the beauty of Sarah, and that he saw the danger. Actually, the Egyptians saw the same thing. He saw the beauty of Sarah. They are the same. When we are the same as the world, we see the same thing. That means we lose sight of God. In verse 14, when Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken to his palace. So everyone sees Sarah as a beautiful woman. And then they treated Abraham well for her sake. And Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkey, male and female servant, and camel. Everything because of Sarah, not because of God anymore. And Abraham actually foresee that perfectly. That's why he asked Sarah, don't say that I'm your husband. You're not my wife. You're my sister. He knew it. He was smart. He saw the danger coming, but he didn't see God. Abraham didn't see God, so he used his own way, lying. That's what we're good at. It's the same as the tempter, the liar, Satan. This passage actually reminds us about what happened in the Garden of Eden. Sin has came into the world. We are all influenced by that. Even those people who are called, who also respond in the right way. Just like us. We receive the call, we respond to that. But we are still under the influence of sin. Abraham trusted God. But somehow the promise alone seems it's not powerful to protect him from sin. We want to follow God's plan. No one will refuse that. Actually, when God speaks directly to you, you will step on it. But as time goes by, as you're following, in the midst of that, a lot of the time we don't have the ability to stay on the right path. And, I mean, certainly we have read this passage many times, so we know that Abraham lied, he failed. Not just one time, many times. But I was surprised the first time that I saw that Abraham wasn't able to stay at the right path, do the right thing. But this time is different. Remember what happened when Adam and Eve, they did the wrong thing? They sinned. They ate the fruit. But this time, God acted before further mistake took place. It's quite different. And if it's not the Lord intervenes, Abraham would keep lying and live in lie. You can imagine what happened. He would further compromise, I think. And Sarah will be in other people's hands. But in verse 17 it said, the Lord inflicts serious disease on Pharaoh and his households because of Abraham's wife Sarah. I felt for Pharaoh. I mean, he saw the beautiful woman who is the sister of that man. She's not married. He hasn't done anything wrong. God actually asked Abraham to be the blessing to all nations, but he bring curse to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. What have you done to me? He said, why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, she's my sister, so that I took her with my wife? Now then, he is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave order to, about Abraham to his men. They sent him on the way, to send him away. Don't stay here. The Lord didn't say anything here. He acted. The Lord is a warrior. He does mighty things for those people who have chosen. He just inflicts serious disease on Pharaoh. And Pharaoh knew that. It's not just for Abraham. Not just for the Israelites. It's also for us. We are a chosen people. God do great things for us too. You see that Pharaoh said, he is a wife. And if the transliteration of Hebrew of that particular phrase is actually saying, look, your wife. I mean, it seems to be a simple phrase, but to Abraham it's very different. He looked at Sarah's beauty and he looked at the danger. But now the Lord, through Pharaoh, told Abraham, look, this is your wife. This is the one I'm going to give birth to all your offsprings. This is your wife. How can you send it to someone? This belongs to God. Belongs to your family. The Lord reminded Abraham about his promise, his blessing, and it would be through Sarah. Abraham was looking at Sarah, but he only saw danger. He didn't see that she is the blessing. Well, you may think that, okay, this is only a few verses after Abraham just received the call and started to follow God. So he's learning his way how to follow God. It may not happen anymore. But as you read on, if you have your Bible with you, in chapter 20, the same thing happened again. I try to find the differences between the two things. Certainly you see there the differences. You see Abraham have more explanation in chapter 20. He tried to explain more. Think about the time you lie. The first time you just lie. The second time you have excuses, explanations. As I said, Abraham maybe just tell the truth, like partly true. It's like a white lie. It's like, for the benefit of everyone, I'm saying this, it's not that bad. But it's a lie. And we give all sorts of explanation. Abraham did the same thing. This is how powerful sin is. Have you been doing things that you repeatedly sin and you give explanation to it? Don't think that sin is only found in Sodom and Gomorrah. The tempter know that you and I probably will not murder someone. I give you a knife and you're not there to do it. But telling lies? Yeah, you and me will do that. So he used that and he invited us to join him to tell lies. So when you're following God's plan, don't lose sight of God. When you lose sight of God, you will use all sorts of things to help yourself. So back to the basic. Regularly come to worship. Regularly study God's Word. Regularly have fellowship accountability groups with your brothers and sisters. Regularly do stock take of God's blessing. It's not a done deal when Abraham went, he started his journey. It's not that Abraham has faith. Faith is not the first step that he took. It's a relationship. It's the engagement with God. Hebrew 11 said, by faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know what he was going. He didn't know. By faith, we don't need to see what happened, what will happen in the future. We only need to see God in every moment in the future. Don't lose sight of God. How can we be reminded? How do you remind yourself of God when you're doing other things? I mean, in church you won't forget about God. We have the cross. Or we are preaching on God's word. And sometimes you need to remind you of the mighty act of God in some part of your life in the past. A special experience, a special moment, or even the time of failure and then recovery. I'm pretty sure Abraham didn't write down what happened in chapter 12, like the first time he lied and then what God has done. If he's written down there and then hanging out, no, he hasn't got a house. I mean, hanging somewhere he can see every day, he will not do it again in chapter 20. Our family has a Thanksgiving war. Have you a Thanksgiving? We don't quite celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Who celebrates Thanksgiving Day? No, it's not our tradition maybe. But we have a Thanksgiving war in our house, and every year, I mean, I have to thanks to Maggie, every year she reminds us to print out photos of special moments during the year. We take a lot of photos. It's all high in our phone. We forget about it. Good time, bad times, we take photos, right? Print them out. And then we choose some of them and we share and we stick them on some kind of craft. I mean, the kids like doing that. It's not just family stuff. It's a time that reminds us what God has intervened in our life for our family along the path that we have been following Him. Sometimes we forget. We lose sight of God. We think, let me use my own way to do things. And among those photos, one always comes to my mind. Every time that I mean, that photo now sometimes lying around, and because my boy has one, because he see himself, my boy Josiah, he has himself, a photo of himself. He hasn't wear any t-shirt, because in that photo he just had his surgery, and he has a zip here, and he's so proud of that. And so that's why he show people. Now, on his body, that mark have faded already. But that photo always be reminds. Not just that particular story. That particular story is that when he was 4. It reminds me the time where at his birth that God intervened and taught us a lot, our family a lot in this incident. And taught us, like, don't rely on ourselves. Rely on Him. What about you? Everyone have we cannot just listen to other people's story, because God has story in your life. That's your story. It's your engagement with God. What about you? Let's close our eyes. Let's use the moment to recall the memories, the times that God get into your life and change things. Sometimes it's good things. Sometimes it's we fail, we sin. But God didn't leave us there. He intervened. He came into our life. He changed that. But unfortunately, sometimes we fail into that again. We call those moments. And when you recall that particular moment, pray to God. Ask God to help you to remember that. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we give thanks to you because you have done so much in our life. First of all, you sent your Son to save us so that we know you. But there are more. That's just the start, just the first step, that we start to follow you, Jesus. But as we follow you, you carry us all the time. But Lord, we're sorry. This is a lot of the time we forget. We lose sight of you. We do our own things. And sometimes when we fail, we even forget those failures. We keep failing. But Lord, you have never let us alone. You didn't leave us alone. You help us. You act. So Lord, help us to not fail you again. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us not lose sight of you. Lord, help every one of us. May Abraham's life be something that we can learn from as we follow your way. In your name we pray. Amen. Abraham's wife Sarah gave her son a name that would remind her journey with God. That's Isaac, her son's name. That means one who laughs. Next week we have Carl with us, and the week after, I will be sharing with you on that particular topic. So if you have time, read from Genesis 12 and just read on to read more about Abraham. I have to work.